the use of information that you have will be used through the AI much more effective and lead to better results. And what we see as well is that the AI comes up, especially with our tool, throughout the manufacturing itself with solutions that preserve the functionality, but change the topology towards where you can manufacture it better without failure within the manufacturing process, which is unbelievable. That's something you could not do at all without the AI part coming in.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solenox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Solomon Williams. We have a special guest today with us. I'm really excited. I have for us Annika Stein. She's the CEO of Camino. So Annika, thanks so much for coming on to the show. I'm really excited. Just can you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself and, you know, what Camino is?
Definitely. And thank you so much for having me on the show today. So my background is mechanical engineering. I did my PhD on computational fluid dynamics many years ago. I worked quite a while in the defense industry for 6 years. I jumped out of my super great management position in the corporate into the startup world. The task there was nothing less than building the engineering team and the program management for the first nuclear fusion power plant to build, which also was the reason why I left my position beforehand, because I love big projects. I love multi-million and billion-dollar technology projects where you work together across different countries, governments, having really the future in mind and how you can shape it. And I can tell you, with having an impact on nuclear fusion, helping out, making it work, it's such a purpose. It will have so much impact on people around this globe to really have a clean energy source for the future for everyone. So that was the reason I started out in to go and work in my first startup. I co-founded another nuclear fusion startup, Focused Energy. It's still up and running. I'm not personally involved anymore, but it's another impact that hopefully at one point will leave its mark in the energy sector. Right now, I'm working within Camino, and what we are doing is we have built a hybrid AI software that is optimizing not just design, but also design for manufacturing and the manufacturing process in one closed loop. And the reason we need it is right now, companies are working in silos. So meaning you have people that know the requirements, they do simulations, then someone else takes it over, makes it a manufacturable design. Then in manufacturing, you realize, okay, it's not manufactured as simulated. And when you're dealing with multi-physics impacts where perfection matters and where single changes really might impact how your component is performing, the problem becomes so big that it either takes way too long to simulate it. It could be a week of simulation time. And then how do you optimize it? If you need 1,000 iterations for optimization, how can you use 1,000 weeks just to figure this problem out, right? So what we have built here is a super powerful tool that combines 60 years of what you could do on the simulation side. You connect it the manufacturing process. You also can use experimental data and build a very powerful tool to optimize physics problems, engineering problems, 1,000 times faster than you would be able without it. And this way, we are not just revolutionizing the way we can progress with solving engineering problems in the nuclear fusion world, which is super important, but also in the defense sector, national security, aerospace, where we have great customers right now. Also in the rock breaking sector, for example, geothermal applications, we just have optimized a part by 300% for drilling, which is amazing too. It makes the geothermal applications much more affordable this way. Yeah, this is Camino. This is what we're doing.
I love it. And it's so fascinating, Annika, because, you know, I always think of it as, especially just as a startup, as a founder, you know, with all of your experience and your expertise beforehand with the education. So I'm always so curious as you're with the clients that you have now and going forward, as like the leader of it, like I know it's a little bit different from a traditional kind of like B2B, because now you're working with defense, you're working more on, you have to think of security, compliance. So how do you, when you customers come or when you approach, like how is your angle to have it come through as the CEO, say this is what we can provide, or how does that work from your industry?
So right now we are touching on a problem that all these companies have, and there is big competition, especially in the aerospace sector, right? So telling them, hey, we have a tool that really can shorten your design to market, gives them an incredible competitive edge. So this way, we really get easy into contact with the companies. Of course, we do a lot of background work, searching for the companies, which companies right now are in the design phases where our software could dramatically accelerate the process. And usually how we go about it, we start with a service project, right? Meaning our team is doing the optimization. We offer an educational package with it, because obviously working with AI is different to the conservative tools we know. I learned a lot myself. I'm happy I'm having such a sophisticated CTO who is really, really just bringing the solutions together our customers need and the new features they need. And this way we gain trust with the customers into the tool, and they want more of it. They want to license it, which is the next step ultimately for us, which we don't have it right now. But really the key here is, especially in the sector, it's not the typical large language model where you need to have a ton of good data to receive results. So we really have two main features that are important in these sectors, which is you can start with no data because you have the backbone of the physics implemented in the tool, and then you can enrich it for your problem, meaning it can be used as a standalone version. You don't need to be connected to a big cloud where obviously you cannot share this data on a cloud. And the companies we are working with don't want it. Of course, it's sensitive data. Either if they use it as a standalone version to protect secret data or confidential data, or to protect their own IP, of course. They don't want to share their secrets with us in depth.
And so, you know, as you're kind of going for use, you mentioned you have a phenomenal CTO, you know, of what coming through and having to deal with such sensitive data. You know, I'm curious on, as, you know, the technical founder, you're leading a small team of it. How do you balance really I'm real so curious on this, on the rapid product iterations and, you know, with the need for security and reliability for that side. Does that make sense?
Makes absolute sense. We have another team member who is in his 70s, but he did nothing else than coding, building secure software. So the work share we have right now is our CTO coming in, having the main knowledge about the AI, how to structure it, how to bring the physics in correctly. And we have the super experienced software developer who is taking what we have built and builds it in a secure and safe code. So we follow the industry standards right away. That's, I think, the only way you can do it. If you don't do it from the first line of code that you are coding, you will have a major problem. So that's the work share we have right now. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. And with it, you know, I know this, like, again, there's this big push because, you know, from my experience working with Azure government and, you know, having to keep that in mind with governmental projects of
following through on CMMC guidelines for FedRAMP. You know, these are these pieces that you have to consider. So as we're kind of pushing through, as the industry that you're in is so, you know, confidential and, you know, but it's making such enormous impacts, what do you see like the big shifts right now in aerospace and the advanced manufacturing now with, you know, AI really, you know, progressing at such a rapid speed?
Yeah, it definitely is speeding it up. So it's speeding it up, and the companies that are not starting out to using it will be left behind. One excellent example is SpaceX. So SpaceX uses machine learning and AI wherever they can right now. And I think this is the difference it makes compared to the longer existing companies, right? It's a different work mentality too. So you stop working in silos. You work more in looking at the problem in a whole, not this is the manufacturing part, this is the design part, where you really in the most companies still you have a department that's doing the simulation and theory. You have another department who's doing the system design. You have another department who's doing the manufacturing and is responsible for this. So I see this shift through AI to a much more effective workforce on the one hand, and also the use of information that you have will be used through the AI much more effective and lead to better results. And what we see as well is that the AI comes up, especially with our tool, throughout the manufacturing itself with solutions that preserve the functionality but change the topology towards where you can manufacture it better without failure within the manufacturing process, which is unbelievable. That's something you could not do at all without the AI part coming in. That's what allows you to make the changes in real time, where you really get better results that you further on, if you mass manufacture, can manufacture on a higher quality standard because the tool is really building the component for the manufacturing. So you don't have the big issues moving forward with the mass manufacturing. That's an effect you definitely cannot have without the AI coming in and helping out, because you would never be able to make these decisions in real time. You would go through a big simulation loop, which you don't need to do here. It's the AI is taking care of it. And that's an advancement that is incredible and not seen before. It will increase the speed of development drastically.
Wow. Yeah. You know, this is great, just the amount of innovation that's going to come with it and just the speed, you know, of that. And while also, of course, you know, following through on the basics, the foundation of the side. So I'm curious, Annika, like, what have you seen and how has your team, you know, as they go through each iteration, what's been really working well with Camino so far?
Honestly, the team that came together with the experience everyone brings into the team, but also the team spirit. So that's something I have learned throughout the years. Having the team that works together properly makes a very, very big difference. You know, if someone of us, for whatever reason, just cannot deliver as we used to, someone else comes in without a question and helps out, you know, and we trust each other. I know it's always said you need the right team. You need to trust your team members. But finding that team that really works together this well is just amazing. It makes a big, big difference. Yeah. Everyone goes an extra mile. I have one example. Yesterday, we had a simulation running. We had some issues there for a cargo capsule for the aerospace sector that comes back into Earth's atmosphere and how the plasma builds around it. And we had some issues, you know, and we got some input from an advisor. And overnight, the new solution popped up with people coming and helping out, you know, overnight. I looked this morning at the results. I was like, how did you do that overnight? You know, and that's the kind of stuff that really makes a difference. Where like in other teams, they say, yeah, you know, it's 5 o'clock, I'm going home. And in this team, there's an issue. People find a solution, you know, whatever it costs. And that's incredible. And especially what you need in this phase of a startup where we are at right now. We all look forward to have our weekends back at one point, you know, but everyone knows if there is a problem, we find a solution and then we will have time to rest.
Right.
And you don't need to ask for it, you know, but we also don't ask where if someone says, hey, I need a break, that person gets its break, you know. Well, that's part of it too, of course.
Yeah. And you know, it's great that you have the team and just coming through. I want to like touch on just your aspects of how you lead Camino, because I think for people that, you know, starting up, there's so many, you know, variables that come into play. I need to do this. I need to do this, learn on scale and grow. This is a product that I have. And then finding the right team, as you said, for that. So how have you, you know, from starting off with Camino, you obviously know a gap in the market. How do you go through and just as you're continuing to move and, you know, bring Camino more and more, what's your thought process like, you know, just being that leader and thinking on the innovation, like seeing, you know, you have these partners and figuring out like, this is what we can provide. Tell me a little bit about just how that mindset is. Is that, have you always had that? Have you just grown through your, just the experiences that you've had? I'm just so curious.
So I grew up in a household that was having a small business happening in our living room. And I think a lot of the work ethics in thinking what the solution is to move forward is something I grew up with, sort of this mindset. I thought that was the normal. I thought that was the standard. I experienced how hard it will be to solve a problem if you have people working on a problem that do their job, but that are not, let's say, driven by finding the solution, more like I do my job, which is important too. You know, not everyone is thriving on let's find the solution. And not everyone gains energy out of getting these things done. So I saw both sides, honestly. But for me, it is very satisfying just going further, finding the new solution, finding the better way. How can we change it to make it better? And I'm not a patient person, you know? I'm like, that's also something. It's not a good trait, but sometimes it's helping. I don't have the patience to wait very long if something is not working to just leave it in this state. It drives me crazy. So this drives me as well to think about how to make it better, how to find a solution. And my team is just very much the same right now. And in extending the team and holding up the spirit, the more we grow, not everyone will have that spirit. And there are jobs where it's also not required, right? But I think it's incredibly important to keep the people that come in the possibility to grow, to make their own decisions, to not be mad if there is something not working out, provide help, guidance, and look for having people coming in to find their purpose with what they are doing. Of course, in a startup, especially in the early stages, you need to do what needs to be done. But ultimately, you need to find the person who thrives in their sector of responsibility. For example, I needed to do the finance stuff. You know, I hated it. It drives me crazy. I needed to do it, of course, because it needed to be done. Now we got a fractional CFO. He's phenomenal. I'm such a more happy person now with not having to do it, you know, and I feel this is what applies to all human beings. If you have someone and try someone to bring into a job, which is just not a fit, it causes problems. The person will not be happy. I wasn't happy doing the finance stuff, you know. So on the long run, I think this is what makes it successful, to find the people that do what they like to do and are passionate about it.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting on how sometimes the people will come to you, the right people will come to you, rather than whether it's from someone that you know or just from you looking at it, it winds up kind of working out when, you know, I've seen that just even in my experience, just as going through the entrepreneur and startup journey of like, if you're going through that, the people will like to help that are more interested, they fit in with your ethos, with your values for it. So, you know, that's something that I can completely agree with or understand. So, you know, as for with the team, you know, Annika, like with like Camino, where would you like to see, where do you see Camino in like the next 6 to 12 months from now? What does success look like?
Well, first step, of course, is securing more service contracts. Mm-hmm. But the biggest win is having the UI, the interface ready so we can license the tool. Our customers ask for it. And for us, this really is the path to more growth. Because if we stay in the service business where we do the optimization, we are very much bound by the amount of people we have. With the licensing, we can reach many more companies, give them the possibility and the access to this powerful tool, and bring them into positions where they can just increase their efficiency. And that's our goal. So in 6 months, the UI will be ready, meaning then selling the licenses, having the first prototypes for it, where we have companies, partner companies already that are eager also to use the beta version of it, which I'm super excited about. And then growing it from there, you know, these are the next steps and next important steps for us to make it accessible. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm really curious on for the UI as it's continued to grow, just for, you know, the folks understanding just some of the process and even for myself, like what is the key benefit of once this UI comes out that it's going to bring to the clients?
Yeah. They can use it and implement it within their existing teams.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Speed up the design process, reduce the product to market timeframe drastically, save money. Don't let failure happen only when you manufacture it, seeing it before, save money and reduce the development risk drastically. After all, it performs a real-time quality control too, because what the tool is doing, checking what it should be versus what it is along the whole process in real time, you always know what you have. You know if you have a manufacturing failure. And this is very, very important. And these customers will not be bound to having us as a resource in terms of manpower. They can use the tool and ramp up their development processes, really.
Wow, that sounds like so interesting, even on the side of just on. And you said even with the beta right now, and like if you've seen that like, your customers are already excited for it and so forth else, you know, with the beta, is there any pieces of it to where you see that what is where you could see you can expand upon once you get into that full production version on it that you can add on?
Yeah, definitely. So we keep working on the compatibility to other big solvers like ANSYS. So it's much easier, even an automated process, to use it for validation, to make it easier with an interface for companies that have a lot of simulation experience for their specialty to use it and just have a plug and play version where they can extend their capabilities, not losing knowledge they have built up before. So that's a key there. And then, of course, we just keep building out more features specifically for the sectors we are working with. So that's an ongoing task, of course.
And then, like, I know we spoke on, you know, in a previous conversation, which I never even thought of, just on the market of cleaning up the debris in space, I recall, and having that. And I found, you know, as you said, that with everything going on with so many satellites, with so, everything going on around space, as we're continuing to evolve and the technology, that's a unique part of cleaning and making the orbit, you know, much more clean. And then you have to worry about, as I think what you said like last time of rockets coming up, they have to worry about all of these impacts of the debris around. So yeah. Like, that's such a fascinating thing that I've thought of, like, what are you seeing now? And, you know, how is, you know, Camino like really going forward to eliminate that debris and help make it more of a cleaner environment around our planet?
Yeah. So we are right now really the support for it. We work with customers right now that have exactly this as a goal. They call space cargo missions, where you can think about really, we won't just shoot someone up, bring someone back, leaving the baggage back there. It will be an industry where you really have space travel going back and forth as a standard, where it is a new chapter for humankind, making this not just a NASA project where someone is going to space, right? It will be cargo traveling. It will be a big industry to bring manufacturing into space. You know, that's also another aspect of it, where some manufacturing processes are easier in space because you don't have gravity. Then you need to bring supplements up there. You need to bring the product back here. So you need this kind of cargo mission coming to fruition. And what we are doing, we are helping to optimize the components that they can withstand the load. With each experiment, we get data that we can use in our tool to fine tune it and accelerate on this path to perform real cargo traveling. Yeah.
It's amazing just how, you know, you think of it, it's so, you push it so far away just of science fiction and like all this, you know, space, and it's, and especially with AI now kind of coming in and advancing it, that it's then easily within our lifetime, like that's going to be the norm. And it's so crazy to even like, that this is where we're at this point of where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we are helping out fusion companies right now. And at one point, the fusion aspect and the aerospace will come together. So even though it will take a while, but once fusion is commercially viable, not just for energy production, also for space travel. At that point, that opens up a whole new chapter, and there are companies out there already working on it, where both these major topics we are working on come together, the space travel, the spaceship, the payloads that they have to carry, combined with the forces that act on the rocket and the cargo container that's coming back to Earth to be reusable, to one point merging with the fusion aspect and make it even more effective. Yeah.
Do you think that we're already on the precipice with the fusion component of fusion? Like, do you think this is in the next year or so? How close are we to getting to this side and making it more renewable? Or is it going on right now? It's just not really talked about.
Well, it's going on right now on the research aspect. I think it will not be done within the next 10 years experimentally. I guess yes. But I don't think it will be the standard in the next 10 years. It will take longer. But it's super important right now to start looking into it. Because if you would wait with the concepts and the research for it until you have a fusion on Earth implemented and going, and then you say, well, there are some other requirements if you want to use it for a rocket ship, right? So it's good that it is happening in parallel. I mean, fusion is proven in the lab. There is a proof of concept. It works, right? And helping the engineering side of things along with a tool like this, it's just shortened the time frame from 20 to 10 years, maybe. You know, it's a big mission. It's nothing to solve within the next 2 years. But if you think about that, like, it also takes for a submarine to be designed and manufactured and brought to the customers. It's 6 years as well. No one realizes it, but these timeframes are not that long.
No.
You know, this time will go by fast, and the engineering work and scientific work is done right now, and it needs to be done right now. This is the time for doing it. Yeah.
And then, you know, just for the listener that may not, because we go, you know, I'm interested in it because I love like science and so forth. But for those, if you can break down, what is fusion and what is fusion to those that don't know? And then what are the possibilities of it if we can be able to harness it effectively after this research?
Yeah. It will impact the source of energy. You know, you will have almost a energy source like the sun that will not stop delivering energy. The fuel can be extracted from water, hydrogen. Of course, there is lithium right now that is needed for the process to rebreed yttrium. That's a hydrogen isotope as well. But it is a closed loop. And you don't have the nuclear waste. That's the next part. You know, you have this energy source. You can think of like the sun in a reactor, and it keeps giving you energy. And this way, not directly, it won't be the cheapest energy source right away when you compete with solar and wind, but it is sustainable. It is a baseload. You can build it close to cities, close to wherever you need the energy. It is safe, especially when you look into laser fusion, you know. People for fission think like, oh God, what about an earthquake? Well, if an earthquake is happening and the reactor has a failure, the lasers are not aligned anymore, it just stops, you know. It's not like you have a meltdown risk or anything. And that's super important to know, because people hear nuclear and they, oh God, no nuclear. This is it. This is really dangerous, which fusion is not. If you disturb the process stops. You know, that's all that happens. And still you have radiation around the reactor, but it's not that uncontrollable radiation that you would have from fission or a meltdown in a reactor there. You just shouldn't be too close to it. And it's shielded. So it's much more safe than fission. It is not even comparable to the risk that you see in nuclear fission. So fusion, once it's figured out, will be the energy source in many aspects for electricity, but also, for example, to create hydrogen as a storage. You know, it's so hot, the process itself is so hot that you directly can use the heat to produce hydrogen, or for space travel. Or at one point, there are projects right now and companies right now that want to have a small fusion reactor on cargo ships. To not have the problem of using other fuels that cost a lot of energy to being produced in the first place, if it's not oil. So the possibilities and how it will change the use of energy in many, many aspects is just incredible.
Yeah, and thank you so much for explaining that, and because there's so much of that, and sometimes you could. You know, for the outside looking in, you know, people are like, it's so technical that it kind of scares folks away. So I you broke it down in such a straightforward way, and the benefits of it that I love. So thank you for that. And I'm sure even with you, Annika, with like having to work with, you know, submarines, working with, you're actually making impacts. And I'm sure the projects that you've worked on is just, you've just been wowed. Like I'm actually making more benefits. I'm working on these projects to actually help on the defense side, but just overall, just on the energy, helping, you know, the planet as a whole. I'm sure that's been so fast, and you've had those moments of just like, wow, this is amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, on the defense side, the technology is incredible. I'm not sure you help the world so much with it.
Protecting wise, yeah, but I can get it. Yes, the capability.
So I feel like working on the aerospace missions and on the fusion mission, there it is really the aspect of, okay, this is helping mankind along. Yeah, it's incredible to me. Yeah. This is what brings me joy. You know, running a business is awesome, but meeting with the technical team, seeing what they put together day by day, this is what I'm thriving on. And seeing them solve customer problems and optimize parts, I'm blown away. My team, and all credits to my team here, really, they came up, oh, it looks like we have improved it by 300%. I'm like, you did what? And like the customers are super happy with it as well, you know? And it, to me, I grew up with old school engineering, you know? When I did my diploma and my PhD, this was not around at all. And I have like a little bit of a skepticism into AI and how it really can help, but the results speak for themselves. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is. And it is so, you know, because you hear so much of, you know, what's going on in the market. I think that people are really realizing it, that there's so much hype around AI, but like, what are like the actual tangible outcomes? Like, how is it really open to, you know, off the all the marketing and so forth else? So I love that. And just, you know, I'm just blown away just on where you are, what you've done, you know, from, and just being in that inch and making much more progress. So, you know, as we wrap up, like, what if you could solve one major challenge to the in the industry, whether it's technical, whether it's cultural, or like, you know, the industry as a whole, what would it be for you?
Actually, having the AI doing my taxes and all that business stuff, dealing with these kind of things, dealing with agencies to get this stuff done. Honestly, if that AI would just take over, so it's not that much time and effort and like waiting on stuff, and things are just clear and done on that sector, this would be my wish to happen.
I know, because there's so many things to worry about in terms of founder. You have to think of all these things. So if AI can just handle all of the noise and kind of what can I do that's actually pushing the needle forward, right?
Yes, that would be my biggest wish, to just hand it over to AI and taking care of it. Absolutely.
I love it. And so, because you kind of answered the next question that I would ask on that. But, you know, for those that are really wanting, like, I want to make sure that to go through, where can people not only find you, Annika, as you're kind of going through this journey, but what would, for folks that are listening that are in your industry and are curious on it, you know, what would you say to them on why, you know, of going with Camino and what you guys can provide for them?
We provide them the opportunity to be the leader of their markets. If they are double as fast in development with their products than other companies, they are the future of the industry. And we are simply changing the way engineering is done.
I love it. And then for the folks of having it, so they can they just find it on Camino's website, or if they want to, you know, follow your journey as just the entrepreneur, as the startup, would they just find you on LinkedIn? Where can they find you to learn more and to follow it?
Yeah. Right now, I think LinkedIn would be the better source. We are working on having more on our webpage. We actually built the webpage when we started the company. We didn't update it yet. That's one of our tasks. So LinkedIn, and reach out directly. If you want to see more, feel free to reach out, and we are happy to show you more material, what works, what does not work. We have our information there, and happy to show you more.
Perfect. No, Annika, thank you so much for coming on. Like as I said before, like, you being in this industry, I've already finding it so fascinating, and just seeing where the technology, where we are, you know, companies like yourselves, where is it going to be taking it to the next level? And how's, you know, automation, how this AI is going to play a part? So I'm really excited to see, you know, Camino thrive and that next stage.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for the opportunity. And I enjoyed it very much talking to you.
Thank you. And then for the audience, you know, if you've kind of stuck through the whole time, appreciate the time. And look forward, as you know, we'll have Annika's info and then for Camino on the side to follow their journey. So catch you guys next time on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more no fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at salonox.net.